Welcome to the 13th edition of Pull the Trigger. I'm your host, Trigger, and with me are founding members of Trash Rocket, Dodge and Monster.
Hey!
On today's episode, we're going to continue our exploration of electronic music. Last week, it was the sounds of Bristol, England. This week, it is going to be a pioneer in the genre, as well as one of the most successful acts in electronic music ever.
German and French, right? Daft Punk.
I believe so.
I know
that
German,
or Belgium, or when they're in that region of France.
That's
I have to
I
look
meant.
It up, yeah.
Right. But Dusseldorf or Kraftwerk.
Yeah.
Dusseldorf, Kraftwerk.
I was looking for a lot of music news going on this week, really. Wasn't a lot of it. It looks like April's going to be a slow month as far as big announcements for music. Indie releases come out with fire in May. We've got sports teams, Ben Queller, Little Feet, Suzanne Vega, The Kooks, just to name a few. This week's big release I saw was the duet album of Elton John and Brandi Carlile, Who Believes in the Angels.
Interesting.
Last week we discussed that Trash Rocket, you all, have a show on April 11th at Reclaim Arcade, assuming all systems are still go for that.
Yes. No, yes, all systems are go, yes.
Okay.
Sorry, we're smiling.
Catch these smiles.
It's going great. See. It should be wonderful. I'm just now remembering I still have to send them the stage set up for us. Why he doesn't keep it on file because we're there.
I was going to say, I don't think it matters.
So because I put myself in front and then Lucky ends up in front of me, so it doesn't matter anyway.
So with that, show's still, $15, right? All you can play arcade games, the two other bands as well, correct?
There is that. But yeah, it is. You're right. That's 15.
So that sounds like it's a pretty good night to come out.
It is.
Get some food, play some arcade games.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
See some music. For $15, that's a whole lot cheaper than a Nine Inch Nails ticket, Trent.
Hey.
And
Trent,
you get like meals in arcade.
Yeah, it's fun.
And I don't have to drive all the way to Baltimore.
Yeah, it's right here.
Win, win, win.
He didn't mean that, Trent. I love the music I heard in the Tron trailer today. Yeah, it was great. They actually put Nine Inch Nails at the end of the trailer. When did they put a band's name up?
But what's interesting, right, is like the concert is also across genres within rock and roll.
Oh, yeah. We're the odd man out.
And speaking of getting across, why don't we look at an album named after a system to get you across Europe?
And not the Autobahn like you're hearing outside, if you can pick up the car.
So the first album we're going to look at is 1977's Trans Europe Express by Kraftwerk. We're calling it Trans Europe Express because we are indeed in the United States. We are very aware that in Europe, most people refer to this album by its actual name, Trans Europa Express.
Neither of which has anything to do with a certain Musk. But.
So we understand that. I listened to this album on Apple Lossless. It is the 2009 remaster. The reason it's not on a vinyl copy is because trying to find a vinyl copy of this album either means spending a fortune on finding a worn original or paying $44 for a used remaster on eBay.
Mm. Really? It's gone up like that?
Yeah,
I have it. I got it when it came out. It's pretty, a remaster.
Yeah, I was going to say you were pretty young when you picked that up then.
No, I was going to say, there was you were there when we were on that little up north offering tour band I was in. We were at a record shop, remember, in Boston. There was an original one with the four of them. I wish I picked it up.
I wish you did, too.
And I didn't. I had this feeling, this person I'm going to meet wishes I did.
Were you born the year this album came out?
No.
Before.
Oh, we're going to bring that up. Yes, thanks a lot. I'm a bicentennial baby.
Yeah.
I'm a bicentennial.
But this is the first in the, quote, Kraftwerk's big trilogy, the first one being Trans Europe Express, the second one being The Man Machine, which is my personal favorite Kraftwerk record, and I feel like the one we should be reviewing, but alas, Apple said this was the one. And number three is Computer World. I dig that album all right, too. And what you're going to see with these three albums is the push from Autobahn sort of out there Oh, or even lack of structure.
The albums they don't talk about before that, where they really were.
Yeah. And they move a little bit more towards the pop structure. You're going to hear it somewhat on this album. It really comes together more on the Man Machine and Computer World.
Yeah, from Man Machine on through, like, the Tour de France, it was, yeah.
They definitely went more on the pop structure. The first track is called Europe Endless. Probably my favorite track on the album. It's track one. I'll be straight up honest with you. It opens with what you would expect Kraftwerk to open with. A keyboard day. Loop. And it's Kraftwerk. It showcases a pop structure again, which is that shift from that abstract Autobahn album. Krautrock is definitely an influence here in the vocal style. Hence, believe it or not, Talking Heads and New Order I heard. Influences in how Byrne and Bernie definitely phrase their lyrical
terms. New Order taking influence from. I thought you said Kraftwerk was influenced by.
No. Like, despite its techie feel, though, what I said about this particular song is I liked the fact that it felt inviting. Though the song does not need to be almost 10 minutes in length.
Okay.
Yeah. Where do I start? It was a good one.
Great one to open. It's the first time I guess I knowingly knew I was listening to Kraftwerk was this song because I picked this up when I worked at Best Buy on CD with the original cover with the four of them where Florian looks much bigger than the other three. So, and what we were saying before, like, it's almost like neat to hear that, like, I like that you can hear, and then Radioactivity, the album before this, you really hear the, it's the beginnings of that technology because you're even hearing imperfections and such in arpeggios and such. Mm-hmm. And pretty neat to hear it that way. And I don't know. That's all I got.
And I guess another interesting thing that I'm probably going to have to put a little bit more onto my radar is this is the 70s. Synthesizers were not something you went to some store and said, hey, sell me a keyboard. Mm-hmm. They said, here's a whole bunch of parts. Here's a screwdriver. Right. Here's some wires. Best of luck.
Or you had to have a lot of money.
Yeah.
But Kraftwerk actually did. They were the one middle class of krautrock.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the other bands look at them and almost think they were snobbish for that because they came from better off families.
Well, didn't like the original cover of this album have like them dressed up all fancy?
Yeah, they present, well, awesome. But they're going to that thing where they're trying to portray that whole We Are Robots thing.
Yeah. So the next track is The Hall of Mirrors.
What were they thinking? I will even say that.
I mean, coming I off was that like, first one. Yeah, this feels like a Hall of Mirrors.
Now, it was a real change of mood in a not so good way.
One of the things, though, that I did notice, the iconic synth progressions more at the beginning, I immediately thought Depeche Mode.
Mm-hmm.
So I already know that Martin Gore heard that and said, I got an idea. It's definitely a minimalist track, to say the least.
Don't drive while listening to it, you'll fall asleep.
Well, that's what I was doing. I was driving.
Thank God you're still okay.
The contra melody and the loop sounds lacking a traditional pop structure. A lot like Autobahn, I feel like this might have been the track they threw on there to make the Autobahn fans happy. Okay, we have one on here that's less structured than some of the others.
Jerick, I'm trying to think which one that would have been on Radioactivity, the album between them. Because I think they had one on there, too. Yeah. Where you're like, oh, well, if everybody likes the Autobahn, that was, what, 20-something minutes long?
Yeah. But I said this song was very cold and introspective. The title fits, but it could be more concise.
Yes. Even I'll say that. Sorry, Ralph. Or Rolf. Sorry.
Is he still alive?
He is. I just saw him the other week.
Yeah.
Nice.
So do we have anything we want to continue with Hall of Mirrors, or do we want to move on to Showroom Dummies?
Showroom Dummies.
Very involved lyrics there, as you pointed out earlier.
Yeah. I liked that the chorus changed every... I was thinking about that and how we don't really do that. Maybe we should.
I do, yes. I've been looking at different how people write songs now. I think new ideas.
Mm-hmm. What I did notice, though, the pop elements kind of return from the first track into Showroom Dummies, along more with the next album as well. I feel that this song in particular is the blueprint for what we know as synth pop slash new wave of the 1980s. Repetitive, yes. Lyrically sparse, yes. But I appreciated Kraftwerk's pioneering role in the synthesized music.
Right.
And I feel that's where I ended up with how I thought of this album at the end, because it really wasn't my cup of tea. But at the same time, I understand albums that are my cup of tea definitely lifted some of this album, to say the least. Anything we want to add to that?
I'm going back to the thing about Hall of Mirrors, and I'm always thinking, like, would you say, like, a return Showroom Dummies to your Endless? And it was kind of like, man, it's almost like if they left Hall of Mirrors out, they would have flowed much
better. I'm wondering.
That concept. Because if you see, like, live, they take the cover, the new cover, the train, and it's animated. It's just, all the tracks they play from it, it's just a journey. Like, it's going across.
I'm wondering if maybe I would have thought of the album differently.
Especially when it being track two. Like, really?
Put
that
near
the end of them.
Maybe they wanted this, you know, the start, the intro, and then they wanted you to stop abruptly.
It's like their overture, because that would repeat throughout the album. And then Hall of Mirrors is waiting to get on the train.
Okay. Yeah.
So, maybe.
That's brilliant. You're brilliant, Hodge. Yeah, right.
Here's $20 for saying something. Wait, what?
And that's it for pretty much the solo songs for the album, because the rest are sort of mashed
together.
In two sides. In fact, I actually thought that the Franz Schubert was side B. I was like, oh, no. Well, this is the end of the album.
Right. Yeah.
Because I was like, man, I sure hope this picks up.
Yep.
So I guess the next one is Trans Europe Express, Metal on Metal, and Abzug. Sure, that's what I'll call it. Abzug.
I don't know.
Abzug.
The bridge, of course, features the synth that Afrika Bambaataa made iconic. The rhythm mimics the flanged train. They definitely put it like on a put its flanged, which I thought was pretty cool. The track's oddly repetitive, with the same three parts repeating. While it's unique, I did find that the minimal build makes it hard to keep listening to, because I'm just not stimulated enough. That, I think, is my big issue with this particular album in general. It needs more. Because there's a lot there that's good. But it's like you have a salad and you have very fresh lettuce. And you have a lot of very fresh lettuce. And that lettuce is good. But wouldn't it be nice if you had some other vegetables in that salad too? Does that make sense? That's where I'm kind of going at with this album.
I feel like you're describing me.
What? Lettuce?
I'm good lettuce. That's what
I'm very good lettuce, but I lack onions. Lack tomato. Some good spinach would be fantastic. What about arugula? Don't forget arugula.
Nothing peppery for me.
Why has Nintendo not named a character arugula?
You would think.
It would work.
They're ding-dongs, that's why.
They missed out.
Uh-huh.
I'm wondering if part of the sound is, like you were saying, like the being pioneers. You know, they're still learning electronic music, because this is the beginning.
The very beginning. And what I do like is, if you listen to the catalog of Kraftwerk, you can hear the development of synthesized music.
Yeah.
It is pretty cool in that aspect. So I don't want to feel like I'm giving this album a hard time.
Well, no, I was gonna add, like, you know, get into a little of the history, you know, like, they come from krautrock, and maybe then other than Harmonia, which Brian Eno had a hand in at times, everyone else is still keeping the guitars going and other stuff going, because, like, krautrock, you know, has the two main schools, the Berlin and the Dusseldorf, and the Berlin's head is Tangerine Dream, which is way different. In fact, they're similar, and I've worked with, you know, one of your other favorite bands, Pink Floyd. No, I can't say it. But no, they're very two different schools, even though I love the Phaedra album by Tangerine Dream. That's my interjections.
Tangerine Dream, interestingly enough. Well,
very different than Kraft. You know, Kraft was very rigid.
But they're on a brutal death metal record.
What?
Blood Incantation.
They're on it?
Yeah, I want to say it's the third. well, there's two songs on the album. The third element of the first track.
They're actually on it.
Yes.
Is it the new version? Because you know how Tanya...
Yeah, it's the new...
They have no original members anymore?
Yeah, the newer version.
It's still them, though.
Yeah. Okay. Because that album, what is it? Elsewhere, I forget the name of it. It's a killer record. I knew it was something unique if Time Magazine put a death metal record in their top 10 list. So I was like, well, I definitely need to hear that one. And listen, this is brilliant. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, not only is it death metal, but it's also like prog rock, and then it's jazz, and it goes all over the place.
Oh, was that from a few weeks ago?
Well, it was the end of December. I mean, bought the vinyl.
You got me into listening to it. Yeah,
like, yeah, it was a killer record. I was like, man, this record's unfucking believable. But yeah, Tangerine Dream's on there. So let's get back into it. The last two tracks, we're going to be done with this album in record time because, well, it's really only five-ish songs.
We could do a third album on the fly. No.
I mean, well, if there's one we all know, sure, we can knock it out.
Vitalogy.
But it's not on the list.
Find the connection between that and the list. Yeah. Pro Jam Vitalogy.
Well, it is music.
It is.
They're influenced by The who had Bob O'Reilly.
And their electronic aspects of The Who probably had something to do with Kraftwerk at some point. Well, we actually know, because The Who was 60, right?
Yeah.
Never mind.
Franz Schubert, Endless, Endless.
Endless, Endless.
What I appreciated was this track opening with the layered synthesized sounds that was a blend of 8-bit and 16-bit audio sounds. And I have a possibility that they might have actually used 8-bit and 16-bit synths. Because that's what I'm hearing.
I thought you were going to say what he appreciated was that it actually ended.
I did say that. You said, unless you did say
that. Did you really?
I was like others, it wanders aimlessly.
It's not endless.
But there is an interesting Abbey Road-like connection between the last few tracks where they just sort of all bleed together. What is this? Episode 13? I want to say this is the seventh episode where I have mentioned Abbey Road. I guess that's why it's on the list at three. It keeps popping up everywhere I go, and the Beatles are overrated. The Beatles are overrated. Blah blah blah. And I'm listening to all these albums, but yet I hear it over and over again. We might get sick of talking about them, but damn if they didn't have an influence.
I saw that thing this week where CM Punk said they were a manufactured band.
Like, yeah,
no, they're not.
And someone now, speaking of which, they're going on the Sex Pistols being manufactured, and I want to state very clearly that two of the members were in a band prior to the Sex Pistols starting in 1972. And yeah, there was a clothing shop there, and the manager of the band worked at the clothing shop at the time. And I believe they did change the name of the store to Sex. But they were already playing in a band. They needed a singer. They saw a guy who was wearing a Pink Floyd shirt that he had safety pinned the words "I hate" on top of it.
Instantly a fan trigger.
And that happened to be the guy by the name of Johnny Lydon.
Johnny Rotten, actually. Yeah.
John Lydon and Johnny Rotten.
Any name you call him, he's going to correct you.
Well, he will.
Well, he's a piece of shit, but you know.
Is he still alive?
Yeah, he's still very much alive. And
bitterness.
The reason that I think everyone's going off on the Sex Pistols, they're getting mad at him for calling the Sex Pistols woke. Dude, you were woke then.
That's a silly goose.
You were the one. Did you not read the words to what you were singing? Were you that blind drunk when you wrote Anarchy in the UK, God Save the Queen? I'm pretty sure that's a...
Maybe it was a compliment.
And then, you got to understand, they played the bar scene forever before they got the album out. Bands like The Damned and The Clash saw the Sex Pistols play, and those bands changed their sound to be more punk rock. Even though The Damned got a song out before the Sex Pistols, they were influenced by the Pistols. I don't want to hear that the Pistols weren't fucking influential. Mm-hmm. We can say what we want about Sid Vicious being a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And we can say whatever we want about Johnny Rotten being a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say, if you have the Sex Pistols albums, definitely own it on an album and don't give them constant money through streaming because, well, fuck Johnny Rotten. But
more so like how he is now.
Yeah.
I'd always heard the Pistols were really cool back then. Like, you know, with Susie and Sue.
Well, that's what's strange.
Because remember that interview, yeah. And Susie was getting picked on and they stuck up for her.
Yeah. Well, no, that was...
You're talking about Johnny now.
Johnny's a dick.
Yeah.
I remember when he... Well,
someone said he's Morrissey without talent.
Yeah, it was weird to watch him on Judge... No, it was the People's Court. He was on the People's Court, yeah. That was a wild episode. So final thoughts, though, for me on this album. I appreciate this album for what it is and what it does for the future of music. And where the synths are used here to build structure is what the entire genre of synth pop, new wave would end up being for the next 6 years after this album.
So that's why this album's on here?
I'm going to assume that it's on here for that and the African Bambaataa sample that they specifically mentioned. That being said, I'm glad that Kraftwerk focused on song structure going forward. I found this album rather uninteresting. Sorry, folks, for those who are big fans. They do run with this, though, and they take that song structure. The next two albums, I think, are fantastic. The next one, especially, The Man Machine. That's a must-own, as far as I'm concerned, in electronic music. I really like that record. That being said, this album has been sampled 96 times. The Man Machine has been sampled over 30 times. And if not sampled, The Man Machine was definitely blatantly stolen from. Again, looking at you, Depeche Mode. And I'm going to appreciate this album more so for the blueprint that it creates than maybe necessarily the music that's on it itself.
Mm-hmm. There was that one time, remember, I'd been stolen from, that Chris Martin sent a whole thing to them asking permission to use their melody for their, was it Coldplay's song Talk? It's the exact same thing as their song Computer Love, and they said they were getting ready to, they had to get the album, they start printing it up and everything, and they hadn't heard back from Kraftwerk at all. Then the manila envelope shows up and it's all these, they sent all the legal documents, but apparently they were all blank sheets of paper, but in the middle was them saying, yeah, it's okay, or some version of how they would say it. Like, that's funny that they did that.
Yeah, that is funny.
Because they have a thing where they say, like, the Kling Klang Studios, they have a phone, and they said they'll answer it 1 hour every day. I read that in a biography about...
So you have to know what hour it is that they're going...
They wouldn't tell me. Not that I was going to call. Like, what's the number?
But I'm saying, yeah, I would listen to this album and appreciate it for what it is, but you could definitely, in my opinion, do better when it comes to song structure with Kraftwerk.
I would even like to hear their production values from Man Machine applied to Trans Europe.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Now, from not structured enough to, I feel... so structured that it's actually to its detriment.
Detriment, okay.
We're moving on to 23 on the list.
Go ahead.
Daft Punk's Discovery from 2001. Mm-hmm. So they're saying that this album is almost twice as good as Aretha Franklin's I Never Loved a Man the Way I Love You. Well, that's bullshit. Sorry if you're a Daft Punk fan. I like the album after this one a lot better than this one. Because I just feel like... I think this album is actually a soundtrack more so than it is an album. There's an anime that it soundtracks. Another interesting note. If you have the remastered version of this album, here's something that might piss you off a little bit. I found it. It's from this is the soundtrack to the film Interstate 5555.
Oh, man. I love that.
The remaster.
Mm-hmm. He's doing quotation marks, people.
Of this album.
Thanks, Hodge.
Involves tracks that are, in fact, lossy because it's not from the master.
What?
They borrowed the soundtrack of the movie and put them onto a new print And that's the album. So you have some songs that are lossless and some that are lossy. And if you go through it on the Apple Music, it'll skip. Lossless will disappear several times. And then I looked at my CD jacket that I found online.
Were they all available?
That it says some of these tracks are compressed and not full fidelity.
But not said why they did it that way?
I don't know. I couldn't find a reason. I don't. I was like, is the master missing?
Yeah, I'm going to say someone probably messed up.
And they said no. But, yeah. But I'm assuming this was recorded digitally. I mean, so would they just delete the... Well, yeah. Someone couldn't have just bought a CD from a store and said, here, guys, play with that. So that's interesting. Speaking of a lossy track, we'll get into it one more time. The notes for listening for me, Apple Music, AAC files, /Apple Lossless. So I didn't bother to write down which ones are lossy and lossless. Okay. I will say this one I know for a fact was lossy.
Lossy, okay.
It's not perfect. But... this is probably the song that Daft Punk was probably most known for before Get Lucky.
Yes.
Definitely a signature party anthem. Single version comes in about 3 minutes and 55 seconds. That's all this song needs to be. Sorry. Over 5 minutes, it's the same thing over and over again. The Kraftwerk influence is definite, clear, repetitive percussion, vocal loops, robotic vocoder effects. I can see why Haji wanted to do these two albums together. It makes sense. The single version, again, under 4 minutes, trims the repetition down a little bit, making it more engaging. Something I found is common with most of Daft Punk's edits, including Get Lucky. I think the album version is over 6 minutes.
Yeah.
It's a bit long, but the single version, it's perfect.
I would DJ that sometimes to go to the bathroom.
It's perfect timing.
The longer.
Yeah, here you go, folks. I'll be right back.
Peace out.
Anything we want to add to that track?
Well, much like, you know, Kraftwerk, I do like about these two albums that, like, for electronic music, they are very, very involved lyrically.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to say this with a straight face.
Very much so.
No, yeah, no, he's right. That it's probably the best thing they're known for as far until Get Lucky. Yeah.
One more time.
Yeah. I didn't know that was Daft Punk, I think.
One more
but
time.
But I definitely knew that song.
Yeah, it, right. It's one of
got me feeling so free.
You don't have to know them to know the song. Yeah,
celebrate one more time.
Yeah, it's like ding. You don't hear that much put into the lyrics with electronic bands.
Yeah,
they.
I think that's maybe why I have a little bit of a hard time with it because I'm very locally focused.
Yes.
Focused.
As you can tell, she is right now.
I think my issue is as well. I need to be constantly stimulated to keep my attention. So if it's the same thing over and over again, I'm staring off into space, folks. You lost me.
So my hour-long album of just a kick drum?
Tenacious D's one-note song.
I thought it was brilliant.
It's the way it's being hit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm alternating feet.
And there are mistakes. Yeah. So. It's imperfect.
And no two are the same in the volume. If you break it all, okay, we're done.
So the next track is another single. It's Aerodynamic. The single version, I do believe, features rap group Slum Village.
Oh, yeah.
It stands out for me because this is one of the songs on the album that uses real instrumentation. Thomas's guitar solo, clearly looped through a DAW because it's being manipulated through all kinds of effects. The outro switch up does keep it fresh, and at under 4 minutes,
whoa,
it doesn't drag. I feel that Daft Punk in small doses is great. I just have a tough time sitting through 6 minutes at a and it never changes.
Sounds like another band in a song we were talking
change.
About.
That's robot rock, though, I think, right? Robot rock.
Block rock and beats. I was going to say, it sounds amazing for running through a dog, because I really thought for a second you said running through a dog. I was like, oh, he said dog.
Yeah. So, by the way, we're running this podcast through a DAW, folks. Fancy word. For digital audio workstation. Well, for the listeners who might be listening. Okay.
Learn something new every day.
We're talking about an animal, so we won't confuse, we'll say cat.
Yeah.
Or hamster.
We've gone fancy now. We're using Adobe Audition. Oh. Bit the bullet, and it's just easier to use. And, well, quite frankly, I'm getting better results. Aerodynamic. Yeah, that. Clearly, you can tell it was a single. It was built to be a single. Mm-hmm. The next track after that, do we want to move on, or do we want to talk about aerodynamic some more?
Oh, good. Okay.
All right. She Digital Love. That's track three. Again, another single.
Mm-hmm.
I see a theme here.
This song, I don't know if you heard it, but I definitely heard it. I think it's clearly influenced by Video Killed the Radio Star by The Buggles.
Yeah, good call.
Mid-tempo, the atmospheric, the background. It feels like it's in the background. Especially with that low end drop off before the beat hits, the loop synth stand out, mm-hmm. and there is a heavily processed keytar.
Ah, yes, the keytar.
That's what we need for.
That's right. Exactly what you all need. I'm telling you.
Oh, Craig's all about it. Anybody out there know we can get a keytar? Honestly, please let us know.
Not only that, you need to have an entire album with keytars on the cover, and the whole album is keytar. You have bass keytar. Keytar, flanged guitar.
Excuse me.
Well, I did want to get that bass. Shoot, what was it called? You might know what it's called. Like, in when we went to see the Stop Making Sense in theaters, and you know, when Tina's playing, she's not always playing the bass guitar, she's playing, you can tell it's a small, like a bass keyboard.
The organ?
What do they call those? No, it's set up like the like an arpeggio keyboard, but you can tell it's shorter, like it's just made for the key to the bass. You
know, is it like with the like Ray Manzarek plays?
Well, it's not an R, but.
Was it like what Ray Manzarek plays?
Maybe, I don't know.
Well, that's a full-on organ. But
oh.
I think, yes.
Well, he has two.
Yeah, oh, like the double.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And do we want to talk more about this one, or do we want to move on?
We discussed this guitar album more. No, go ahead.
The next song is yet again another single. Harder, better, faster, stronger.
Oh, yeah.
This is probably number three, I would say, on Daft Punk's most known songs.
Okay.
The loops here are too many to count. Percussion, vocal, synths. The song is very robotic in the sense of what Daft Punk marketed themselves as during the time period, which is joking. They were asked if they would ever tour with Kraftwerk, and they said, we don't work with robots.
Hey!
Really? Okay. I know that was meant as a joke, but...
So in the well-known songs for them, not this album, but where does Around the World fit? Around the World?
I would probably put that number four in.
Okay. Oh, so they actually said that about they don't tour with robots. Okay.
Yeah.
I will.
It was a joke.
Okay. I want to tour with monkeys. Or gorillas, maybe.
Oh, monkeys. Oh, gorillas. And you can just dress up like one.
Yeah.
She didn't vote then.
So,
we will be amazing.
Are going to move on to a song that, believe it or not,
what?
Is not a single.
No. Seriously?
Crescendals.
I mean, that's their best known song. Come on now. Kidding.
That's not how I imagined it.
Now, the one thing I noticed here, I feel as if someone in Daft Punk was listening to the Basement Jaxx's Remedy album.
Oh, okay.
This definitely, to me, feels Basement Jaxx inspired. And then I looked it up, and guess what? It was.
It was? Okay. Good call, then.
So, picked it up. It does feature two very wild imperial vocal samples,
mm-hmm.
And they put them together in a weird way, and it works. Heavy synth manipulation, definitely in post, like a lot of the album so far.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of post production, to say the least.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Night Vision is the next track. It's the short 1 minute and 44 second song. It's definitely a change in the vibe. I appreciated that. Now, I don't know if you heard this, but if you listen to the song by Billy Joel, Just the Way You Are, tell me that the melody of that song and this song are not very similar. I picked up on that real quick.
Just the way you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely heard it. And I was sitting there and I was like, what was it? And then I finally put it together. Oh, it's Just the Way You Are. I was humming that almost immediately when I heard it.
But when they asked, Billy Joel said no, he would not come play it.
The next track is Superheroes. Breaks Over. This is straight up a track built for DJ mixes because it comes in with a boom, 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 boom. And then comes in with rapid fire vocal loops. It's just 4 minutes long. This song is very, very repetitive. By 2 minutes in, I'm struggling. I got to be honest with you. This was probably my least favorite track on the album. Because there's just nothing to change it. It's monotonous.
Maybe they want someone to sample it.
Well, they do get sampled quite a bit. It's a good way to get paid.
Yeah.
Since no one's buying music anymore. I really didn't have anything else to add to that. I wish I did. High Life. It's another song that is distinctively Daft Punk. The synths, the loops. There is not a lot of variety here. Daft Punk definitely took Chicago House and blended it with Europe's big beat of the time. They ran all the way with it on this particular song. That's what I got. I wish I had more to add to it.
It's okay.
And this is my issue, and I want to say going forward with this particular album, they're ranking this 23, and I'm struggling to come up with stuff to say about the songs.
I wonder if they, like, were ordering them, like, shuffling them around, and then Daft Punk was last, and they were like, oh, shit. Wait a minute, here's an opening.
Yeah, we'll put it here.
It's about 23. We definitely
loved being in the room when they were putting this together.
Because I do see the influence.
Yeah.
We only have 99 here. Yeah.
I mean, I do hear Daft Punk's influence on popular music going forward. I'll admit it. But 23? Really? No. Something About Us is the next track. Definitely inspired by Nile Rodgers, which is interesting because Nile Rodgers does produce their biggest hit, Get Lucky.
Is he a musician?
Yeah, he's the singer and guitarist of Chic.
Good times.
These are the good times.
Yep.
I think didn't he produce Rick James's albums and I believe Eddie Murphy's album?
Interesting.
And Radiohead. No, that was a nice.
I was like, I could see it. It wouldn't surprise me.
And in the cave, you know how funky the cave is.
I will say this though, the chopped up vocoder I did find very interesting. And I remarked on this, finally, a change up in the material because that needed to happen. Because the same thing over and over, every song was becoming more than I could bear.
Maybe they didn't change the program.
I don't know.
Like, well, this is it. To the next one.
This is what we've got. Next song. But it's not long enough. Just loop it 118 times. Well, that brings it to 7 minutes. Good enough.
Oh, shit. That's what they did. Let's loop it.
Voyager is the next track. It opens with a guitar-driven hook, a funky bass. It's classic Daft Punk. It teases, builds, and breaks. Then returns to form.
Of monotony.
Yeah. Pregio's synth harp on the left channel. Brief shift in the vibe before dropping right back into the groove. Don't have anything else, folks. I wish I did.
Why say it again? I got nothing to say. My lips are sealed.
I guess we could go back to another single. The next track is Veritas Quo, fifth single on the album. So
they have five singles?
Five singles. Single
Holy
number five.
Moly.
Probably the least known of the singles on this album. The opening synth feels like Kraftwerk scoring Zelda.
That's definitely a project. Get on it, huh?
And slow, subtle build. It is repetitive, but it stands apart from the rest of the album. I said it was an odd choice for a single. It's probably the least radio-friendly song on this album. Mm-hmm. And this is one. It's a single. Okay. Anything we want to add for that?
I'll remember. I'm going to listen to it real quick.
I heard that last night. I actually said about odd choice of a single when I was listening to another podcast. I know, sorry.
Yeah.
About, like I was telling you earlier, Pearl Jam 10 when they said about Oceans. I forgot that. I think of everything in terms of MTV at that time. Yeah. Like, no,
they had a video.
It did have a video?
Oceans had a video, yeah.
Wasn't that the song I was complaining about the most on that album?
And no, it was Garden of Stone.
Garden.
Oh, because I'd say the lady was complaining about it. She didn't dig it, and the guy said he liked it a lot because it reminded me of Led Zeppelin.
No, that was That was a song where I was like, okay, this is a Zeppelin tune.
Anyway, yeah, back to
But yeah, it was Garden, because I wanted it to be recorded more like Indifference or Daughter or more of that raw, naked.
So it was on the wrong album.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I think if they had recorded it with acoustic guitars and built into it, it would have worked a whole lot better. I think that was my argument with it.
They just weren't there yet.
Alright, the next track I'm going to straight up
Versus was the first real band though.
Yeah, I'm going to straight up just be honest. If there was an advertisement for an event that involved having a good time at George Mason when I was at WGMU, I used this tune as the bed every time. Short Circuit. Yeah. I probably played this particular CD, this song, in the production studio more than any song ever.
Oh, okay.
So I used it a lot for college radio ads. It's the perfect event music. Clear nod to 80s b-boy culture, synth manipulation. It shifts from breakdance vibes to a fade out reflecting the album's wanting energy and minimal song variation.
Okay.
I had a lot more to say on that, but I used ChatGPT to shorten it up because I felt like I didn't need to say all that. I was like, ChatGPT, clean this up for me. And it was, no problem. And I looked at it. That's what I said.
Mm-hmm. I named mine Chad.
But your ChatGPT was not happy with you for your Kraftwerk comments because the robots work hand in hand.
Face to Face is the next song. Somewhat of a return of what you heard at the beginning of the album. Definitely feels like a mix of the funk and the new wave blended together. This is the song that feels most ready to be a pop song, which is odd because it's not a single. Mm-hmm. Honestly, this is probably the best song on the album because it's the most song of songs on the album. It felt like a true song, not like a clip that was extended way too long.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is ironic because the next song's called Too Long. Which is what I was saying over and over. It's too long.
Wait, remind me. Is that the last one?
Yes, the last song is called Too Long. We're at the second to last track, Face to Face.
No, because I have Too Long. Whoa. Another kind of thing between the two bands today. Endless, Too Long.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
But I also put on...
It was hilarious.
But I didn't get it. Too Long's not a good closer.
No.
Terrible closer. It's minimal. It's a simple loop, upfront vocals like the last track. It has full lyrics, but it's so repetitive. I said this title sums up my thoughts on this album. It's an odd and underwhelming choice to end on with no urgency to replay.
What would you put as the end song?
Yeah, if you could do that.
I'm probably going Face to Face. Maybe Veritas Quo. The first four you can't use as a closer because they sound like opening tracks.
Would you just take Too Long out?
Maybe. Mm-hmm. It would make the album shorter.
Wow.
Damn.
And it makes me
sound... that, no cap?
Yeah. Right. It makes me sound like I hated the album, and I wouldn't say I hated it. It's just...
Dead Better Things coming.
Yeah. Their next album... What is that? What's the next album called after that?
I'm wondering if I wasn't grumpy, I would have liked both of these albums more. Yes, because I've been grumpy all week. It's been a busy week. And I was in the car, you know, listening to these and on my phone because...
Because I'm at work. And
my Bluetooth isn't connected or whatever.
Oh. I was in a pretty good mood this morning, so I can't put it to that. Like, now, yesterday, if I'd have listened to it, it wouldn't have mattered. But yeah. This album sucks!
You know what? I'm going to call in next week and see if there's a difference. I'll listen to it when I'm in a better mood this week.
Okay.
I'll call in.
Oh,
Ami's going to be acting, and I'm going to be like, hey.
Yeah. Actually, let's... Really, in the background, we'll hear you.
I have an update.
I definitely, though, have some thoughts on this. Again, though, the album.
Okay.
Apple 23rd bullshit.
Whoa.
It's not even the best electronic album of the year. And I would argue, looking at how pop music went forward, it's not even the most influential electronic album that came out that year.
Which one is?
Here are some albums that came out in 2001.
Okay.
Simple Things by 07.
Okay, never heard of it.
Well, you have probably heard of Sia, though.
Oh, yes. I have heard of Sia.
Yeah, that was who discovered her. She was on their first three albums. Confield by Autechre.
Oh, that's
Drugs by Aphex Twin.
Who?
Aphex Twin.
I'm kidding, I love it.
I don't know any of these people.
Come to Daddy.
Come to Daddy. Come to Daddy.
I'm so...
All right.
Great video.
That is a strange...
I don't think...
We can take a look at that.
Same person. I think the Dead Army of Me, Bjork.
It's a strange, strange video. But Simple Things, of course...
Oh, it's for real? I thought it was going to be like a porn video.
No.
It's like, no thank you.
Yeah, but Simple Things.
Simple
Things. By 07 gives us Sia. Arguably every bit, if not more influential than this album, because Sia goes on to become like this big pop star.
Yep.
Yeah. That would make sense. She would do electronic because she wasn't about showing herself.
My thing is, though, they label Simple Things as electronic. Is it, though? I mean, there's some synthesizers in it, but it's still like very laid back, chill. Like, I need to go take some stress off myself. Like, the first three albums are some of my all time favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Their new stuff now, okay. They've definitely listened to a lot of Radiohead and later Miles Davis. And that's kind of what they went with.
Both of these albums made me want to listen to the Go Team.
Thank you, Kraftwerk and Dapple.
But
from the Go Team.
I said if they had edited all these songs down to 2 minutes, 30 seconds, 4 minutes per track, I'm probably going to enjoy it a lot more.
Yeah.
But I had to put my nostalgia goggles down for a minute and then actively reflect upon the music of the time period. It is repetitive. A lot of it in the time period was very repetitive. It's mm-hmm. not out of place with the rest of the music coming out of the time. But seriously, you're saying this album is twice as good as Aretha Franklin's, four times as good as Nina Simone's? Bullshit. It's not. Sorry, it's not even Daft Punk's best album.
He's definitely glad it's charted higher than Dark Side of the Moon.
I wonder if they should have like caveats.
I need a reason for why this is 23. Yeah. I'm sorry, like
it's gotta be somewhere online they explained this or something.
So this album is 23. 91 was George Michael's Listen Without Prejudice, which is probably my second favorite album we've reviewed mm-hmm. on the list. Only the Aretha Franklin album right now.
I missed that one. I should listen to it.
Beating that one.
Oh, Oh, that's right. Pardell was there.
Yeah, which one?
It wasn't me.
Oh, that's right. You went there for that one.
Yeah. I missed it. She was on that
assignment. Such a good. Oh, that's right.
I missed it and I missed it.
That's right. It was your report on quicksand in Washington, D.C.
I'm glad. I mean, I kind of wish the city had been swallowed by quicksand, but.
Yeah, I would have gone. No.
So it looks like.
It's really dark.
We are going to have.
It's romantic.
A bit of a change. Monster, you're not going to be with us next week.
No, I'm not. God.
But she might call in.
So
I'm going to call in.
My original plan was going to be Bob Marley and the Wailers Exodus and the Talking Heads Remain in Light. Mm. No,
the Clash.
The Clash. Mm-hmm. I'm totally messing up my words here. I've ruined the surprise, everybody. The Clash is London Calling.
Rewind.
So it looks like next week...
If he gets
if
back
we can get...
We were speaking of him earlier with Keytars.
If we can get Mr. Keytar Man himself in, maybe we should do Remain in Light by the Talking Heads and then the Patti Smith album. I feel that those albums definitely have similar audiences.
CBGB.
So I feel that would work. And Daft Punk is apparently better than both of those albums.
What the heck?
That's interesting.
I will say this, though. They did not rank it higher than Stevie Wonder's Songs in the Key of Life. I would have probably started rioting if they'd have done that. Mm-hmm. They're like, it's better than that album. Whatever drugs you are on, you can get off of them. Find help. Now, that is going to be another day I'll be looking forward to when we do the Stevie Wonder. I'm working on getting a friend of mine. He's got to deal with some stuff. I did mention him earlier. He lost his mom about a month ago.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of in similar circumstances the way I lost mine.
Oh, no.
He's a big Radiohead fan. So I'm going to try to get him on for that. We just got to figure out when it's going to work for him to do that. I was saying probably the summer. So I'd like to do that with him, see if we can get him on. Because he's got a lot to say about Radiohead. So I feel that would be a good... good week to have
maybe
on.
It'll be a good week when we're on tour.
Yeah, but I'm going to do Radiohead. I'll call in.
Oh, yeah, you call in, Hodge.
We're at soundcheck right now.
Well, we'll figure something out. Yeah, I got to figure out what we're going to do for the on tour. I guess I'll take the microphones with me, too, that week.
Oh, I thought you were going to go on tour with us. Okay.
No.
Okay.
No, I'm pretty sure I got a dog to feed.
Oh.
Bring the dog.
Yeah, because she's super friendly.
I almost brought my baby today, but decided not to.
Yeah, no, my dog is...
out of force.
Yeah.
My dog, as she has gotten older, has become quite the asshole.
Really?
Yeah.
Not to you.
She loves me.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good, at least.
But everyone else...
She's grumpy away. Goose. Yeah. I got some grumpy gooses.
So...
Hodge knows.
I was trying to stick with danceability, but I guess we'll go with quirkability.
Quirkability.
Next week. I think we can get Craig on. I think we can, okay.
You
want
me to call him right now?
On there?
We'll get him on there.
Yeah, I know. He never even answered.
But with that said...
Oh, Jackie.
Life is too short... for bad coffee and bad music. For Hodge, Monster.
Hey.
I'm Trigger, and we'll see you next time.